It is 8:45. We say hello to Mayor Bob Minetza. Hello, Mayor. How are you?
I'm great, Mary Ellen. How are you?
Boy, how was your drive in?
It was a little bit slick. People need to take their time and drive a little bit slower. And like I say, drive slow, watch out for the idiots. I mean, that's the way it is. First big snow of the winter, everybody's got to relearn how to drive on snow.
That is a fact. But
otherwise, absolutely beautiful out there.
It is.
Big, fluffy white flakes. Mm-hmm. Everything is nice, pure white. And so, I mean, you got to admire that piece of it. You know, we're kind of blessed here on the lakeshore. We get this kind of snow, and unfortunately, we get a lot of it.
I know.
That's okay. You know, that's what we chose to live here.
Before we talk about the meeting tonight, I'm happy to say that you will be in a play that's going to air here on WGHN. It's called a Christmas Carol, a live radio play. It'll be live on the air on the 19th of December at 7 p.m. on WGHN. And it features people from Central Park Players, Timberlake Guild performers. And you, now what are you, who are you playing in this play?
Oh, I kind of got talked into this. It's been a lot of fun so far. But So they assigned me the part of the, and we're just voicing this, but I got the part of the Ghost of Marley.
Oh, awesome.
So I get to warn Scrooge about the coming spirits. And I have to try to do my best Marley voice, which, you know, I have absolutely zero experience with stage and theater and all that. And so, but it's been fun. And, you know, I kind of got talked into it during the Chowdown Centertown thing. The Central Park Players had a booth and a little mini golf thing. And I was out there playing mini golf. And Amber, the lady who was there, said, she figured out who I was. Said, hey, how would you like to try this? I said, well, sure, why not?
I love it.
It's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, we've been rehearsing every Tuesday and getting better.
Yeah.
So we're coming along nicely. So
sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a new experience for me. But, you know, the Central Park Players what's the name of the guild?
Timberlake Guild Performers.
Yeah, they're based in the Episcopal Church there.
Yes.
They're very good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun to listen to them because, you know, they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a lot of fun just being part of that group and listening to them rehearse. And so, anyway, new experience, but it's going to be great.
Well, I'm excited for this. We will air this Thursday on the 19th at 7 o'clock on WGHN, and then we'll probably rebroadcast it on Christmas Day as well. But I just think radio plays are very interesting because it's like they did it back in the 40s, you know? You'd stand in front of a microphone and you're acting, right?
Yeah, it's a play within a play.
Because
the premise of the play is that this is a radio show.
Right.
So people are on the radio, and then they're doing Christmas Carol as part of the radio show.
Yep.
So it's a little different, but
I love it.
And it's written for five people, but there's actually 15 of us.
Good. Okay. So, very cool. So you'll be doing a couple of things. You'll be juggling. People will be juggling roles and things like that. It was adapted for the stage by Joe Landry, and I know theater people know who that is. So how exciting. Good for you. It's always fun to kind of do something that you're not used to, right?
Right. Well,
put yourself out there.
Well, you always got to learn more things.
Yeah.
So if you're not learning new stuff, then what good are you? You got to be.
Well, there you go.
Got to keep your brain open.
Just like me, learning how to dissect a agenda with the city of Grand Haven. I'm getting better at it.
Okay. I'm getting there too. I've been practicing.
You've been practicing. The meeting is at 7:30 tonight. It'll be on the Facebook page streamed live there. What can you tell us about the meeting tonight?
Okay. So it's one of our lengthier meetings. We've had some really short meetings recently. This one is not one of those. But we're going to start out with a presentation of the annual audit. So the audit is done. It's just kind of a snapshot of our finances. After the close of the fiscal year on June 30th, then we bring in the auditors. They go through our books. We start our new fiscal year, and they look at the past fiscal year. So they give us a presentation on how we did last fiscal year and come back with an analysis of whether our fiscal controls are in place, what our accounts look like, whether we're doing things right, whether we're in a good, healthy state. And they gave us a good, clean, unqualified audit. So that's always good news. That's exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you your finance department is doing what they're doing, that our policies are sound, that it doesn't necessarily tell you you're making all the best decisions you might possibly make. That's not the point. The point is whether or not you're doing things according to good accounting practices and maintaining control of your finances. So all that is really good. Our fund balance had grown last year, so this year we've chosen to spend down some of it on capital projects that have been deferred, but that's just prudent use of a fund balance. And so we'll hear a presentation on that. That shouldn't be real long. The audit itself is posted in our packet, so if anybody wants to look at it, it's several, you know, it's like I don't know, 60 pages long or so. It's lengthy and it's very detailed, but it's all there. And so that's good information. We'll get probably a 10-minute presentation on it with any questions that council members may have.
Okay.
And then we're going to get a little update on lead service lines.
Mm-hmm.
So a letter came out to a lot of the residents in town a couple weeks back.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So it's sent out by Public Works, and it's a legally required letter for any community that has lead service lines within their water system. They send out this kind of a precautionary letter saying, you know, there's lead service lines out there. You may or may not have one. Sometimes I think they say that you do have one. Depends on what they've determined that you have from their records. And here's precautions you can take with lead in your lines and such. Well, we've been working on this project for quite a few years now, since in my first term as mayor, replacing lead service lines as we find them. We know where a lot of them are. We did all the ones on Columbus on the east side of town. We've done a bunch of them around town. We had a $3 million grant. We spent pretty much all of that fixing lead service line. We had 20 years to take care of this. It was a long-term project. And in this area, the nature of the water, the chemistry of the water from Lake Michigan is such that we get this passive layer on the inside of our pipes that protects us from lead leaching into our water.
Mm-hmm.
So unless your pipe has been broken or disturbed somehow, you really don't get lead in the water lines here. It's not impossible, but it's unlikely. And so it's not been a problem. It's not like Flint or Benton Harbor or some of the other communities that have had a big problem. But this letter has to go out, and
okay.
It's required to go out. And people get that, and they feel right away like, oh, no, there's a problem. So we're asking
Derek. Yeah, that was the reaction I got from someone.
Yeah,
what's this all about?
What's this about? You know,
Come on now.
Is our water not safe? Well, it's as safe as it's been. And, yes, it is safe. We have very good control over it. But we still have to get through this project.
Mm-hmm.
So Derek Gatos is going to come in and give us an update and explain the letter and explain where we are in the process and what the risks are and what the safety measures are and all that.
So I
think that'll give people some reassurance on that, because it's nothing to be frightened of, but it's also nothing to be ignored. So
okay.
We're working our way through that project.
All right.
And we got some items on our consent agenda, but then we have two public hearings tonight, and they're both kind of important.
Yes, they are.
One of them is there's been a new hotel proposed for the Grand Landing site. We've been talking about this for a few months now. It came to our attention last spring. It got through the Planning Commission process this past summer and fall, and it was sent to council for approval of what they call a preliminary development plan. When you take a plan development and make a major change to it, it has to go through the whole process of approval, same as if it were a brand new plan development. And so the Planning Commission held a public hearing at their last meeting, and they talked about the hotel, how big it was, where it was, where it would be sited, how much activity to expect from it, what it would look like, all that. And they approved that as a preliminary plan. They sent it on to council. We'll have a public hearing, and then we have to vote on it, because actually a change like this is a change to the zoning ordinance.
I see.
The way our zoning ordinance is structured, plan developments are their own zoning district. And so any change to them has to be approved as an ordinance.
Does the public have a chance to talk about this?
That's why it's a public hearing.
Got it.
Okay. When you have a public hearing, so public always gets to talk to us twice in a meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, the end of the meeting, just as general call to the audience. And you have your 3 minutes to talk about whatever is on your mind.
Okay.
When you have a public hearing, it's very specific to that particular item. So that's in addition to the call to the audience. So when we have a public hearing, anybody who wants to come and speak to us or call in, we do have a call-in number. We don't generally use it for mm-hmm. public hearings, but it's there if somebody wants to express their opinion on it. When it's a public hearing, it's usually something specific to that item. So if you have something you want to say about the hotel, you can come and talk to us about that.
Okay.
And then we will have a conversation ourselves, and then we'll have a motion to approve the plan development, or our choices are we can approve it, deny it, or approve it with conditions. And then there has to be a second reading because it's an ordinance change. And then it goes back to the Planning Commission for a final plan. So
there's
several steps to getting a plan development changed. And this is like step number two.
Okay.
So we're working our way through that. But the hotel is something that's been long awaited. We planned on hotel there when we approved the plan development in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been waiting 18 years for this to happen.
Wow.
But, you know, it was always planned. It was always part of the plan. And there's a lot. I think there's concern among some about the amount of traffic on Jackson.
Oh, yeah. People aren't happy.
Yeah, it's a legitimate concern. But it was, like I say, what was originally planned was a much more intense development
mm-hmm.
than what's being proposed now. So that's possible. You know, it's possible we could do something about traffic, but We'd always anticipated having that additional traffic on Jackson, so we may also have to talk about public safety may weigh in with some ideas, too. We can always defer to them.
Okay.
So there's that. And then the second public hearing.
Yeah, what's the second one about?
Okay, so Noto's, when they rebuilt Noto's a few years ago, they put a sign on the north side of their building. So as you're driving south on Harbor Drive, you see this backlit sign up on the top of their building. It's a blue backlit sign that says Noto's, has their logo on it. They didn't ask for a sign on the other side of their building at the time, but now they are. They'd like to mirror that sign on the other side of their building. And it would be a very similar sign. They originally asked for it to be backlit, just like the first one they put up. But because it's a new sign, and because that's also a planned development, it has to go through the same process I just described for the hotel. Okay. So it had to go to the Planning Commission for a public hearing. They asked for a backlit sign there. Planning Commission approved a non-lit sign
right.
for the same location and passed that along to council for consideration. So we have to have a public hearing, and here again it would be a modification to a planned development.
Okay.
And so we'll have people can come in and talk to us about that one. Same process. You can come in and talk about whatever you think about this particular proposal and tell council your opinion. And then we would close public hearing, and then we would talk about it. And again, we can approve it, deny it, or approve it with conditions. And then it would become an ordinance change. And again, it would require two readings.
Okay.
Because it's an ordinance change. So those are kind of interesting public hearings, and that's part of the council process is mm-hmm. to garner public input, but also to make decisions. So those are probably the two biggest single items on our agenda.
And there's always an update from the city manager. How is that survey going that you want everyone to take?
So the survey is open until December 8th.
Right.
When I talked to Ashley Latch last week, she said that a week ago they were up to about 80 or 90 responses. We would like to get a couple hundred. We'd like to
for
get
sure.
as many as possible because we want to find out what people are thinking. And, we find out when people come to council meetings, that's a relative handful of people.
Right.
When people send us emails or letters or call in or whatever, we would like to get as good a look as we can about what the people's opinions are. We've never done this before, prior to a budget session.
Okay.
So we're going to go into our strategy session on December 12th, and we'll talk about council's priorities for the upcoming fiscal year. That kicks off our budget season. From there it goes to department heads to take council's priorities and turn them into action items and develop a budget around that and then all the various things that go into it. But this is like, first step was always council's priorities and council's goals. Well, this kind of precedes that. It's going to inform council better as to the mood of the community or the sense of what if people think we're doing the right things or missing the boat or
got it.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's just a good piece of information for us.
It doesn't take that long to take it, you guys.
It just takes a few minutes to take. And it's
I'm doing it right now. It doesn't take that long.
So it's a collection of things you can prioritize just by picking from a menu of things. There's also room at every point in here to write comments. And in my experience with surveys that we've done with the public, the comments are more valuable than all the prioritization of the things that are listed there. Because when people write stuff out, they're really expressing themselves.
Okay.
So every other survey we've done, I really pay close attention to the comments.
You do? Okay.
And the statistical stuff,
sure.
the priorities and the numbers assigned to different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, but I think the comments directly from people's heads, is more informative to us.
All right.
So I encourage people to take that and tell us what they think because, it's kind of like whether surveys or elections or whatever else, it's kind of the whole thing kind of belongs to those who participate. And so if you participate, you're more likely to be heard and get something out of it.
There you go. Yeah, so, I was taking it while you were speaking. It's not that hard. So
no,
it's all right there.
It's easy. It's a well-designed survey.
Okay.
It's not there to tell people how good we are. It's there to ask people what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people have a misconception about what we're doing, we'd like to know that too. If they have something that we weren't even thinking about, we'd like to know what they're thinking about. So it's all good information for council, and we're there to represent the people.
We're out of time.
We're doing the people's business.
Please be safe. Drive back. Thank you.
You're